Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m. when Steve Cochran rolls in. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. You can send your text to 24720. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook.com/NickDShow. What was it? A few weeks ago, we had Lloyd Kaufman on. Lloyd Kaufman is the founder of Troma Films, a legendary company that has put out some classic crazy movies, including Poltergeist and the classic Toxic Avengers and so many other Troma films. And Lloyd's latest movie is Return to Nuke'em High Volume 1. It's out on Blu-ray and DVD. It actually came out yesterday on Blu-ray and DVD. And one of the actresses from – we talked to Lloyd about it when he came to town to screen the film. And they had a big event here in Chicago, and he came to town to talk about it. And now we have one of the actresses, one of the lead actresses who's in the movie, Return to Nuke'em High Volume 1. You know what you're getting when you get a Troma movie. You know what you're in for. The name Troma says it all. And my guest is Asta Parades. And we welcome Asta to the show. Hello, Asta.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Not bad. Not bad at all. So I watched the movie yesterday, Asta. And I thought it was a blast. Now when you went in, you auditioned for this, I'm assuming.
I auditioned for this in the summer of 2012. And it was they had like their major open casting call situation, and then eventually they just start narrowing down the two lead roles for a month and a half of callbacks. Mm-hmm. So that was the process. I just saw an ad on a regular acting site and thought it sounded intriguing enough, and here I am now.
When you went in, were you familiar with Troma?
I was familiar with Class of Nuke'em High, but I wasn't familiar with Troma as a name or as a film company or any of that. I just had seen late night Class of Nuke'em High, in college, and so it sounded familiar. And then before I went into audition, I just did a lot of research and realized, like, oh, wow, interesting. I didn't realize, like, the scope of how inspiring Troma has been to a lot of filmmakers that I admire, like Quentin Tarantino and Eli Roth and James Gunn.
Yeah. It's funny because I remember the first Troma movie I remember seeing was years and years ago, and it was Mother's Day, which Lloyd's brother, Charles, mm-hmm. Wrote and directed. Now, have you caught up on that? Have you seen Mother's Day?
Yes, and I don't want to see the remake, although I'm a bit curious about what Brett Ratner did with it.
Yeah.
I'm in love with the Troma catalog right now. I love one of Lloyd's understated works, which is Troma's War, which I don't feel it gets all the recognition that it deserves. Mm-hmm. But, if you watch Lost, you'll think back about Troma's War.
Yeah.
In a very different way.
Yeah. So have you been traveling with the movie? Did you come here to Chicago?
I did come to Chicago. It was wonderful. The Music Box is a wonderful theater, and it was crazy because a lot of you guys that came, the Chicago people that showed up, it was like -9 degrees.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe you guys showed up in this weather. But I guess, I went to college in Minnesota, so it's like, well, you have to deal with it at some point, weather, it's not unusual.
Yeah. Now, what's your background? Where are you from?
My family, both my parents are Spanish, and they're from Ecuador originally. And I was born in Texas. When I was very young, I moved to Holland and Spain and a few countries in between for my dad's work. And then I came back to the U.S. In Texas again, in this very small planned community called The Woodlands, north of Houston. I think jokingly at one point it was like on the brattiest high schools in the nation.
Oh, is that right?
It was a very entitled place. Like, I did theater there actually because I wanted to hang out with this one couple friends that like were doing it just for fun. And I also had this horrendous accent because I had just traveled so much. And so I just did it. And I wanted to do pre-med and other things when I went to college, and I did that. But I still love acting so much, and it just stuck.
Now, what was it? Well, first of all, what did your dad do that brought you to all those different places?
He worked for a company called DuPont. You know, basically make everything that we use every day, like Lycra, Teflon, anything used in building, the basis of most buildings, fabrics, chemicals, everything. He was a creative chemical consultant. So he, you know, because he spoke several languages and is very well traveled, like he was very useful to go to different countries and kind of be an ambassador for the company and help start up companies and stuff. So, and my family just went along and it was fun.
What was it like to grow up in all those different places? Was it, obviously it's a very unique childhood.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's like only unique once you like talk to people who have, you know, when you move to someplace like Texas and you talk to people who are like, you know, eating these kinds of foods and you're like, I've never heard of, like to me, you know, grilled cheese was an open-faced Gruyere sandwich with oregano, you know, like, and to my friends, it was like, you know, American single slices, you know, so I remember growing up and having to like readjust and not seem like a pretentious, you know, foodie or cinephile or anything like that. And, you know, I mean, it was a unique childhood, but, you know, I'm really grateful for it because if anything, it taught me to adapt to my circumstances from a very young age.
Yeah.
And it gave me a lot of, like, anecdotes and, you know, very jokes that, like, you know, I've been able to go to a lot of the screenings, like, across country and, you know, maybe, you know, I have potential to go to other places in the world and joke, like, I'm from everywhere. Because whenever I go to these screenings, I'm seeing a friend or a family member in addition to going to the screening.
Yeah.
Like an incentive. And I met cousins that I never knew existed in Chicago, which was an incentive for going, actually.
That's something.
So that was really fun. And then, you know, the first night that they meet me, they see this movie.
Yeah, I bet. You know, I have to ask you, you know, you talked about, you know, living overseas and moving around a lot. And so when you got to America and you saw, like, you know, hot dogs and stuff like that, it was seemed strange to you. What was it for the arts growing up, like for your music? Or did you watch television and movies and things like that? Having grown up in that world, what was it like for you there?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is I watched, like, a lot of, I watched a lot of things that were major in America, like, in the 80s, like, that were pushed into the 90s of Europe, you know what I mean? Like, I still watched all of the, like, I watched Mad Max from a very young age.
Uh-huh.
I watched Droids, the series.
Yeah.
I watched, actually, I was telling Michael Gingold, the editor of Fangoria, he's doing a screening of Gremlins, and I was telling him that I was hesitant to watch it because when I was a kid, I had to take a charter bus to my school, and they would play Gremlins 2 on repeat every day because they didn't have any other source of entertainment. So I just remember being, like, inundated with Gremlins information, like, every day from a very young age.
And it was the sequel.
Yeah, it was the sequel. Yeah. I hadn't even seen the first one.
Yeah, well, see, you know, it's what's funny, Asta, I prefer the sequel. I think the sequel is one of the funniest movies of all time. And yeah. I just hosted a screening myself. I hosted a screening of Gremlins for Christmas.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah. No, it's a great franchise. And, I mean, you know, there's nothing more terrifying bringing back the franchise in the form of a toy that causes mothers to, like, attack each other.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as that goes, like, I just have always watched random things and thought it was normal. Like, to this day, I've always been on the search for this obscure version of a live-action, slightly violent version of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs that I saw when I was living in Holland, and I haven't been able to find it anywhere, and not even on IMDb.
Like, really?
Recognizable. And I just would see, like, these, I guess maybe it was a TV movie or something that never got recognized, but... You know, and one of my other favorite movies was Night of the Comet.
Oh, great movie.
And, oh, my gosh. So, you know, basically any 80s, you know, kind of crazy action stuff that would be on TV in Europe as a representation of America or even in Texas, like late night, like, you know, USA Up All Night kind of style.
Sure.
Like, that's always been what's
I've been drawn to.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. It seems you were destined to be in a trauma movie. That's what it sounds like to me.
No, I mean, it does feel like that. Like, one thing I always get asked in these interviews is about, like, why I did acting. And, you know, ultimately, like, I always end up bringing up Steven Seagal and Hard to Kill. And it's not even because I think, like, an Oscar-worthy or amazing performance by any means, but it's like, you know those movies that you know aren't, like, great movies, but for some reason, if it was on, like, a 24-hour marathon, you would, like, be able to just sit down and, like, just watch it over and over. That one movie that, like, I could watch over and over and over again and find hilarious, and I could do commentary, like, with anybody else with me in the room. Like, I could be talking about what I think about the movie as it's going.
Sure.
I love the movie.
Doing a little Mystery Science Theater thing on it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just think it's epic, and I love movies like that where the actors are so committed to it.
Yeah.
Despite the ridiculous circumstances, which is why I was so, you know, happy to do this movie and play my character, because she just kind of is the most, like, I approached her like Bill Murray. That sounds kind of weird, but I was like, she's just kind of like, she can have fun, but she's, like, fairly, you know, dry and... Mm-hmm. cynical. So in these crazy circumstances, it's fun to play that character, because, you know, I don't really have to do much, but then I have to wear this prosthetic piece and I have to have goo and all this stuff, and I just wanted to be kind of normal in it, though. That's fun.
Asta Paredes is with us. She is one of the stars of Return to Nukem High Volume 1, Lloyd Kaufman's latest trauma opus. And it just came out on DVD and Blu-ray. We're talking about that. By the way, since your dad's a scientist and an engineer, what did he think of you wanting to get into acting? When you changed that course, how did your family feel about you saying, "I'm going to be an actress"?
So I went into a program. It's called the University of Minnesota BSA Actor Guthrie Training Program, in Minnesota, and the kind of agreement of doing that was, well, okay, it's a prestigious program. They gave me a little bit of a scholarship, and it was out of state, so it was a bit of a sacrifice, but I did get some money for being talented, so my dad had to recognize this. And he's been very supportive. He's been very supportive. And it's a great program, and they're actually about to be in their 10th year, so I'm excited for them. But anyway, I went to the school because it's a liberal arts school, and what they do is they work a deal with my program that they lower the credit load by saying that you're working less so that you can fit in more classes. So you can be, like, doing another major entirely at the same time, even though physically it's not possible. So I did pre-med for 3 years.
Wow.
While I was doing this heavy conservatory, technically filled my whole schedule kind of thing.
Man.
And so that's how my dad kind of, like, came to a compromise about it, was because, well, okay, well, she's doing both. So, you know, if it doesn't work out with acting, she has to back up.
Yeah.
But eventually I went to my third year to study at the Globe Theater, Shakespeare's Globe Theater in London.
That must have been something.
Yeah, it was incredible, and I got to actually perform scenes from the Shakespeare history plays on the stage.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. We had these reviews, and we had, like, our British teachers kind of, we would joke, like, refuse to give you an A because they don't want you to think that you can be perfect. So they would give you a B and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
But I got a B in a class that was, I mean, an A in a class that was mostly impossible. And my teacher gave me an evaluation, and she said, you know, how's it going and all this stuff, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm doing good. I'm eager to get back. I have some zoology courses that I'm not looking forward to doing because of the heavy workload my senior year.
Yeah.
And she said, you're an idiot if you think that you should continue on that course. She's like, you're insanely talented, and not everyone gets to be talented and you know, have a grasp on this world. You shouldn't spread yourself thin, basically.
Yeah.
And at that point, my dad, like, immersed himself into supporting me with acting. And
there you go.
He's the reason I came to New York. He supported me, you know. He still hasn't seen the movie yet.
Uh-oh.
He's aware of everything about it. But my mom saw it, so she, you know, she's ready. She warned him.
She warned him. All right, hang on a second. Austin, we got to take a break, okay? Hold on.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, cool. That's Asta Paradis. She is the star of Return to Nuke 'Em High Volume 1. It's trauma, man. It's trauma. And it's out on DVD. I watched it on Blu-ray yesterday morning, and it's a spectacular Blu-ray copy. So, we're talking with one of the lead actresses, and we'll get more information about some of the other things that she's been working on as well. Asta Paradis, right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the seventh floor of Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. And I am really pleased to be speaking with Asta Paradis, who is very charming and very good in the movie Return to Nuke 'Em High, a trauma of destined to be a classic. Asta, welcome back.
Hey.
I wanted to talk about some of the other things. So first of all, you did some improv while you were in New York. Is Upright Citizen Brigade?
Yeah, I had some classes at UCB. Did like some electives and, you know, level one. And because of that, I got to do some fun outside of UCB stuff. But it's a great program. Like, I highly recommend it to everybody that I know.
You know, are you familiar with this new show on Comedy Central called Broad City?
Yes, I believe Amy Poehler's involved with that.
She's the executive producer of it. And
Yes.
The two girls that are on that show were from Upright Citizen Brigade, and I think it's one of the funniest shows on TV. If you haven't seen it, it's about being 20-something in New York.
I know a little bit about
it. I was just going to say, it's like the polar opposite of Girls, but in a good way.
Oh, polar indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, polar. See, there you go. Very clever. Tell everybody about Return to Nuke 'Em High Volume 1, who you play, what your character is. Give everybody the rundown as best as you can describe this thing.
Exactly. My name is Asta Paradis again, and I play Christy Goldberg in Return to Nuke 'Em High Volume 1 and 2. Volume 1 is the beginning of this event film, and it sets up that basically the original class of Nuke 'Em High, as it's run down in the beginning of the film, is the story of a high school next to a nuclear power plant. And, of course, that isn't such good news because it taints the water supply and the atomic high that causes students to become cretins, these mutants. And, you know, we have two people called Warren and Christy who end up fighting against that and save school or blow it up and save it in a way. So we come to this movie, you know, years later, and though the school has been rebuilt, the nuclear power plant that is now in rubble has a tromorganic food conglomerate built on top of it. So this food company thinks it's a good idea to build on the remains of a nuclear power plant. So my character, Christy, she is a blogger, investigator, and she writes in her little high school blog life about trying to take down this company. But, of course, no one believes her. But that company is, in fact, threatened by, you know, any of the claims that she may, you know, that may be discovered from what she's saying. Then a new girl comes into the school and is victimized directly by these cretins that are, you know, newly made by the food supply that is tainted, and she has to help her, and then that brings them together, though they were very different before, you know, one being rich and one being poor, one being, you know, more vigilant, one being very privileged. And it takes the two of them falling in love and dealing with all the craziness on the school, but they have to save the world now. And that's kind of like basically the gist of the film.
Yeah.
And there's like you said, there's a lot of crazy stuff. It's very, you know, very crazy, very different things in this kind of film. And
yeah, it's,
you know, but it's a satire. It's got to have a little bit of everything.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also got a million cameos in it. I mean, Lemmy from Motorhead is in this thing, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And it's got trauma all over it. I had Lloyd on, you know, a couple, you know, right before you guys came to Chicago. I had Lloyd on to talk about it, and I've interviewed Lloyd many times as a fan of Troma, and I host a I'm one of the hosts of a horror convention here in Chicago that happens every August, and so we get a lot of the Troma people who come to the convention, and I've interviewed them on stage and stuff, and people who are used to this kind of stuff. I mean, this is classic Troma. There's a lot of liquid flying around. There's a lot of crazy special effects and over the top gore and over the top craziness, and it's exactly what you would expect from Troma. And you do a great job, by the way, Asta. You're very, very good in the
film.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
And what else have you been working on? I'm looking at your track record here. You were on a couple of episodes of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. I got asked to come in to do some background work on Orange is the New Black. And it was a unique experience because even though I've done background work before, featured and non-featured, they wanted people to feel like part of something. Nobody was sure what was going to happen with this show. It was just a show based off of a memoir that was fairly popular.
Yeah.
Netflix had never done a series before. They didn't know how that was going to work out. And most of the stars, though they had done stuff before, they weren't relatively well known, and a lot of niche actresses. And anyway, so it shot in Kaufman Astoria Studios, the same place that Sesame Street is shot at. And you'd go in every morning, they'd give you a makeup wipe, you know, and be aggressive if they needed to be, and they'd make you take off your makeup. You'd go get your uniform size, and you'd have that for all time. And they'd establish, like, your vibe. And they wanted to keep the same background people so that if anybody looked in the episode, they would see that it's the same prison every single time.
And yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just fun because I got to hang out with a lot of these up-and-coming female actresses before the show came.
And as you know, the show turned out great. And a huge success. So congratulations for being a part of that. Asta, we're out of time. It's been so much fun talking to you. You're so charming, and you're really terrific in the movie. And I'm looking forward to Volume 2. You are touring a little more. Are you guys still touring with the movie? Or now that it's out on Blu-ray, that's done?
No, I'm actually going to Cleveland because one of my castmates and actually my now boyfriend, he lives there. So, I mean, his family's from there. So we're going to take it to the Cedar Lee. And then it's playing at MegaCon. I mean, we're still going because this is a cult film. It's a two-part, so we want to do double features and triple features.
Sure.
When Volume 2 comes out. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on it. It's a really fun movie. You're terrific in it, and I think you got a pretty big future in front of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for joining us, okay?
No problem.
All right.
Have a great night.
You too. Asta Paradis, who is one of the stars of Return to Nukem High Volume 1 and Volume 2, which will be coming soon. Volume 1 is now out on DVD and Blu-ray. It's Troma. It's crazy. You know what you're getting. Enjoy it. All right, we'll take a quick break. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.